Let us pray. Almighty God, by your Holy Spirit, illumine the sacred page, that our minds may be open to receive your word, our hearts taught to love it, and our wills strengthened to obey it. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our scripture today comes from selected verses from chapter 7 of the book of Genesis. Hear now the word of God. When everything was ready, the Lord said to Noah, "Go into the boat with all your family, for among all the people of the earth, I can see that you alone are righteous." So Noah did everything as the Lord commanded him. He went on board the boat to escape the flood, he and his wife and his sons and their wives. After 7 days, the waters of the flood came and covered the earth. The flood waters grew deeper, covering the ground and lifting the boat high above the earth. As the waters rose higher and higher above the ground, the boat floated safely on the surface. Finally, the water covered even the highest mountains on the earth, rising more than 22 feet above the highest peaks. God wiped out every living thing on the earth, people, livestock, small animals that scurry along the ground, and the birds of the sky. All were destroyed. The only people who survived were Noah and those with him in the boat. And the floodwaters covered the earth for 150 days. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. Well, this is our fourth sermon in the series of lessons from Noah for 2021. My guess is, and you've heard this before, you've heard me say it in preaching a sermon, when you're up to your ears in alligators, it's hard to remember that your primary objective is to drain the swamp. Well, my guess is, while Noah was on the ark, he was not only up to his ears in alligators, but crocodiles and a wide variety of snakes and creepy crawling things all around him. I'm sure he needed a break. He really did. In these 4 weeks of sermons, we've learned about Noah, that he came from a righteous family. His grandfather, Enoch, it says in Genesis, was a righteous man. None before does it describe him that way, and none after until it gets to Noah. Enoch's father, the son, Methuselah, lived a long life, longer than anyone else, and his son Lamech also lived a long time. Lamech also fathered Noah. And then after his father, grandfather died, he was all alone. He was the only one righteous left. My guess is that he and his wife and his 3 sons and their wives were the righteous ones. It's interesting, though, how do you know what righteousness looks like if there's no law? You see, the Ten Commandments didn't come around for some thousands of years later when God gave those Ten Commandments to Moses. The only admonition we had before this in Genesis was that Adam and Eve should not eat from the tree of good and evil, that they should not eat. And yet, we know when their son Cain killed Abel, there was retribution for that. So there are some moral absolutes, I guess. But what differentiates righteous living from unrighteous living if you have no code of law? That's just a question that hit me. But in the midst of these scriptures, we find that Noah is alone. And he's alone for a long time. No one else righteous but him. I'm sure Noah needed a break. Well, he was in the ark longer than those 40 days of rain. He was in the ark longer than those 150 days when it stopped. It says that he was in there for some 13 months, from his 600th birthday to his 601st birthday plus 7 weeks. That's a long time. And you put those with those years when there was no one else righteous, I believe Noah needed a break too. When you put it all together, I guess we need a break from this pandemic if it's in comparison to what Noah endured, well, maybe it's not so bad. If you compare what we've endured to those others throughout history, say, for instance, those who survived and did not survive the Holocaust in World War II, I guess we didn't need a break as bad as they did. Even if you think 100 plus years ago and you think of those who lived through and did not live through the Spanish flu of 100 plus years ago, maybe they needed a break more than we did. But any way you look at it, it does not diminish what we are dealing with, what our families are dealing with, our children, our educators, our friends are dealing with. The pain is real. We're struggling. Some are depressed. We're in the muck of disappointment. We're in the muck of uncertainty, of not knowing what the next 12 months will bring, what will happen. Even with the vaccine, we are not sure. We're disappointed, depressed, in pain. We need a break too. Yes, we do. It's difficult, the times we live in, isn't it? But one of the things I have started doing, and I've been thinking really hard this past week when I started thinking about why in the world did I come up with a sermon title, So You Need a Break? What was I thinking? And then I started thinking of my own life and how I respond to the stress and the pressures that are around me, and what are those things do I need a break from? And then I realized that even though we have been going through this pandemic together, we are in some ways like Noah. But then again, we have been taking a break. We like sitting in the muck, in the mire, don't we? I think of the people I call and talk with on the phone, other preachers, and our conversations end up going to the same places week after week after week. We talk about the struggle, the pain is real. How are we going to get through this? How our church is doing. We get in that place and we begin to say over and over, like a broken record, for those of you who know what a broken record sounds like, we keep hearing those things over and over again in our conversations, and then in our minds we keep hearing them. And I realized this week that that's the thing I need a break from. So if you're watching and you're a friend of mine and you're a pastor, I'm not going to talk to you anymore, because your conversations are too depressing. No, what I decided we need a break from are the things that we don't get a break from. Regardless of what's going on in our lives, God still demands the same thing from all of us if we're going to be righteous children of His, followers of Jesus Christ. We are called to be the same yesterday, today, and forever. We're supposed to be followers of the one who is the same yesterday and today and forever, the one who wants us to love Him and love our neighbor. We are the ones who are supposed to carry one another's burdens and though fulfill the law of Christ. We are the ones who are supposed to have the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, welling up in us of joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, all of those things, long-suffering. And yet we have allowed the muck to cover us up in so many ways. So how do we get out of this muck? How do we begin to break the cycle of the things that we have been doing? Because for us to be the church and to be relevant in the society and in the world in which we live, we've got to give ourselves a break and break the cycle, to do something intentionally different than we've been doing for the last, let's say, 12 months. Let's say longer than that if we're honest. Because some of us, we're not prepared for this pandemic spiritually in our relationship with the Lord. And this pandemic has only driven us further and further away from God, driven us further into a depression or whatever. And so I'm going to start with a few things that I think we need to do. And the first thing I think we need, we've been publicizing and encouraging people to read the Bible this year. If you haven't started, it's not too late. Begin reading. Read your Bible every day. Second thing is begin to pray. Get a prayer list. Pray the prayer list that we publish every week in the Coming Up Kingswood email. You can find it also on the website. Make up your own prayer list. Begin to pray for people. People you know, people you don't know, people you read about in the news. Pray for your family. And that's where I would start. The second thing I would hope that you would begin to do is not probably the greatest thing we would be able to do, but it's an easy place to start. A number of times I've gone through Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace University, and one of the things he talks about in there is the debt snowball. And the way he tells you to do the debt snowball, it defies rational thinking. It would defy what any economist or financial person would ever tell you to do, because if you were talking to a financial person, they would say you need to reduce the debt that in which you had the greatest interest payment. You get it paid off before you get to something else. But Ramsey says this is not a rational problem. This is an emotional problem. And so you start with the very smallest debt, and you pay it off. And then you go to the next debt, the next biggest, and you move through them that way, because what you need is encouragement. What you need is success. And so these next things I want to tell us to do are really the easiest to do, because the people with whom we are going to be doing them are people who love us anyway. So you start with prayer, and then we move to letting the people know in our family that we love them, to begin encouraging them more and more. Those in your household, brothers who fight with their sisters and other brothers, be kind. Extend a hand. Help. Smile with them. Be kind to your parents. Cut them a break every now and then. They need it. Be kind to one another, and I promise you it will be shown back to you. Hey, they are supposed to love you anyway, and you're supposed to love them. That's the easiest people to do. But then there are those who are in our family that maybe we don't see every day. Maybe your grandparents don't live in the Dunwoody area. Maybe they live far away. I think if you want to make your grandparents' day, call your grandparents and tell them you're thinking about them. Ask them how they're doing. Tell them you love them. Grandparents, do the same for your grandchildren. Parents and adults, call your parents. Let them know how grateful you are for them. Share with them those things and encourage them as well. We should be able to do that. Talk genuinely and sincerely to people we love. And if you make them feel better, you will feel better about yourself as well. And if you have problems with your relatives, the people you dislike the most might be your family members, maybe it's time you break that cycle and make sure you tell them you love them. One day you won't be able to do that. Well, after we get through with our family members and we're ready to move to the next list of people, I think we ought to make sure we tell those people with whom they've had a positive influence in our lives. Might be a teacher, a preschool teacher, a kindergarten teacher, someone who's meant something to you, a mentor, a former co-worker who helped you through a difficult time. Call people with whom you've had a positive relationship and let them know how grateful you are for them. Encourage them in their own life. This past Friday, I was sitting out on the back deck at the parsonage, and for Christmas, Jim gave me a little fire pit. and I was sitting out there warming by the fire, and I called a mentor of mine, Pat Shannon. Pat was the pastor of Thompson First when I went into the ministry, and for several years in the beginning of my ministry while he was in Thompson, he was a great friend to me. It was good to hear his voice, to share old times, to share new times, to be able to tell each other how much we cared for each other. And it, when we hung up, my spirits had been lifted by Pat, and I pray that his spirits had been lifted by our conversation. You see, if you haven't been doing that with people who mean a lot to you, maybe we should break the old habit and start that habit. The other thing I think we need to then move to is making sure that we put legs to our prayers. As we're praying for someone to have a peace or to experience the presence of God in their life, ask God for you to be the presence of Christ in their life. It's one thing to pray. It's another thing to put action with it. We have numbers of people on the church's prayer list that could stand to have a call, could stand to have, and it would do them a world of good just to hear a kind word, to hear and sense and experience your kindness in their life, from the smallest of niceties to something big. Whatever it is, make the presence of Christ real in other people's lives. And once we get that going well, try to figure out ways for people to see the love of Christ that is in each of us, even though we're wearing a mask. What I've learned over these last months is so often when I'm covered up from above my nose to my chin, which is a long distance, when I look at other people, in some ways I act like and I sense that they don't see all of me. They don't see my smile if I have a smile. They sometimes can't even hear the muffled good morning or hello. So we need to figure out ways for our love of Christ, our love of our neighbor, to be seen through and in spite of the mask we have and the social distancing that we observe. How do we do that? In 62 days from today, it will be Easter. And what I pray that all of us will do would be to make a break today, because we need a break. In covenant together for the next 62 days, we will transform ourselves and those with whom we have contact, so that on Easter Sunday, not only will we be able to celebrate the resurrection of Christ, we will be able to celebrate the resurrection of our own spirits, all of our spirits, to the place where we know that we are relevant not only within this body of people, this fellowship of believers here at Kingswood, we will be relevant to the people of Dunwoody and beyond. But for us to do that, we all need a break. And it's my prayer that we will all break together. Let us pray. Almighty God, we are grateful that no matter what we experience, we are called to be followers of you, to be examples of your loving grace, to be the light in the darkness. And so I pray for each person who sees, hears this message, and for those whom you touch, that we make a break today to be the people you've called us to be. That we will not be in a live in a time like Noah, where the righteous are not seen. We ask this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.